You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
OBM, Ohio Business Machines, preferred copier provider of the Cleveland Browns. We have all the X's and O's for your office. Call 216-485-2000 or visit ohiobusinessmachines.com. Today we go to the OBM hotline right now and welcome in Jeff Hobson from Bengals.com. Jeff, how are you doing today?
Guys, how are you?
Good, Jeff. Free agency off to a fast and furious start. Obviously, the NFL not too happy about that, but let's focus in on your Cincinnati Bengals. Who are the Bengals looking at, and what kind of moves do you expect them to make this year in free agency?
Well, I try to think, you know, they already kept their starting little backer right now. We'll get a kicker, Mike Nugent, and they would really like to wrap up their left guard, Clint Bowling, before this thing gets going much further. I guess it's fair to say everybody's on the market right now. So I think they'd like to get the Bowling done, and then at that point they're going to just tweak it a little bit. You know, get looking for depth at linebacker, looking for depth at tight end, because they'll be, I think they're expected to not have Jermaine Gresham. I think Gresham will move on in free agency. So if they can get their big guard done, and then I think it's just time to, I think they'll just kind of tweak it a little bit the rest of the way.
The Cincinnati Bengals have been linked to A.J. Hawk at linebacker. You talked about linebacker, as well as Cleveland Browns defensive end slash outside linebacker Jabal Sheard. Is there any further news on those negotiations happening?
Well, no, I think we're going to wait. You know, the Bengals wait and see what happens. I don't see them coming out of the gate early. You know, they're going to wait to see where the market goes. You know, they have high regard for Sheard. They've had trouble blocking Sheard down through the years. But, we'll see where the market settles. I think they want to be, they're going to be a little cautious at this thing because, the money that teams spend in the first 4 days and then what they spend after that, as you guys know, it drops dramatically. So,
yes.
But you can get the same guy or the same type of guy if you just wait, you know, if you wait 3 to 6 hours or something. So I don't see them coming out of this thing. But that's obviously a concern is D-end, and they've got Hawk in here today, so, they don't know about Perfect, and when he'll be back, Ritz will be back, so I think Hawk would be a guy that is an interesting guy. He probably wants to be here. He's from right down the road. But I don't think this stuff is going to be a lot of quick stuff happening.
When you talk about Jermaine Gresham, where do you think he is going to end up? Have you heard anything on that front?
I have not heard his name surface, which is kind of odd. I think he's probably one of the better maybe, talents on the market, young guy. But I have not seen him linked with anybody. I don't think he's coming back here. I think that they feel like, it's been a lot of water gone under that bridge. Been really inconsistent. But I have, I think what they're looking to team Tyler Eifert with a blocking guy, with kind of a blocker type. And as they continue down this road, if they're a physical running team, I think they feel like Eifert's their playmaker guy. As they get a bigger tight end in him, kind of blocks more and catches, I think that's a better fit.
Jeff, the Cincinnati Bengals sit at number 21 in the first round. What direction do you believe, or have you been rumored to hear, that the Bengals are going to go at 21?
I think they stay on both sides. I think they're looking at the lines. Anytime you're in the AFC North, you put it in the first and second round. An offensive or defensive lineman always has to be at the top of the list, and I don't think this is any different. I think we'll be dictated a little bit by free agency, what they lose, what they gain. But they'd obviously like the pass rusher. They've also got both tackles are up at the end of this year, Whitworth and Andre Smith, so they have to look. They have to look at that too. But I think that's what we're looking at. Offensive line or defensive line.
Jeff, with all the deals you've seen out there, you've been around the NFL for quite some time. What stands out to you as kind of the craziest thing you've seen so far in this early free agency period?
Well, I just think you have to go with the Sue deal, Is one guy worth that much to your cap? The Bengals played Sue a couple years ago, and didn't really hurt him. They won the game in Detroit. They played J.J. Watt in Houston last year. They blocked him with Marshall Newhouse, a guy they're not even going to re-sign. Didn't really hurt him. So the big numbers for these solitary players trying to fit into a scheme. Now, Sue
Sure.
But, you know, with that cap number, you know, can you put enough guys around him to win? You know, can you put enough, can you give Tannehill enough weapons? And what if Tannehill starts to play? You're going to have to pay him. Who gets, you know, that's the thing. That's, I'm always amazed when one player commands so much money because it is the ultimate team sport.
It certainly is. Jeff, appreciate the time. Jeff Hobson from Bengals.com. Enjoy the rest of your day and the Bengals' foray into free agency starting tomorrow.
Guys, you enjoy it up there. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, you got it. Jeff Hobson from Bengals.com with us there. Bengals not expected to be huge players here in free agency because of their cap situation, but also that just hasn't been kind of their MO. It's not a team that looks like they're really going to make a kind of a giant splash, at least right now. He's talking about maybe Jabal Sheard, maybe A.J. Hawk, but they're not going to be a team that comes out kind of at the beginning of free agency and makes that big splash.
Right, yeah, and they've never been. That's, you know, that's something that the players know as well. The Brown family doesn't like to spend. And what they do in most cases, like a lot of the good teams in the National Football League, is they reward their own. You know, they strategically add through free agency. As he said, when they lose players that excel in that system and go other places for more money, they fill it very similar to Cleveland Browns. And I wouldn't be surprised, you know, if Ray Farmer and this staff are mimicking some of the success they've had or that they see happening around the National Football League and adapting their own style on top of what they see succeed at other places.
And the Bengals have about $30 million in cap, $29 million or so in cap space right now, according to SpotTrack.com. So that's what they're going to do there. We're going to the phones now. Keith in Lakewood, welcome to CBD.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. How was your weekend?
Good. How was yours?
Awesome.
Yeah, well, great. Looking forward to it's Monday. I always look forward to Raw tonight, hoping that The Undertaker may show up tonight.
That'd be good. Are you gonna go out to Pittsburgh? I actually went to Youngstown last night to see the live event in Youngstown, see my buddy The Miz, Dolph Ziggler. It was good. The Miz gave us a little shout-out in his promo. We were in the front row down there. We had a great time last night.
I'll have to roll one time.
It was good. Yeah, you
should. Next time they're regional, I'll go with you.
All right. Yeah. Next time they come to Cleveland, we'll go.
I have a question for both of you guys, and I wanted you to answer both of you separately. If you were the GM of the Browns, who would you personally would go for as far as free agents? I'll hang up and listen to you guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it. Go ahead. Go first.
I think – first and foremost, I'd look wide receiver. If Ray Farmer has an inkling that the three top receivers, Devontae Parker, Kevin White, and Amari Cooper are going to be gone, we've got to add that big target. And then also, too, is I would be interested to see, you know, what outside pass rusher, as you said, I'm still a fan of Brian Arakpo. I watched him be very productive. You know, early in his career in Washington, he's kind of tapered off a little bit and had some injury-prone years. But I think he's highly productive in an outside linebacker position. And the reason why, having seen a 3-4 system in front of my eyes, being a part of one succeed, when you get two 10-plus-year sack guys on the outside, what it does for the inside guys, what it does for the back end, and a back end that's going to be, you know, top five in the National Football League, if not number one, when you can rush the passer, you'll see those interceptions. A team that led the league in interceptions, it'll go through the roof.
So for me, I'm going to want, you know, from listening to John DeFilippo, I thought tight end was a priority. Charles Clay's be somebody I'd try to somehow get away from that transition tag. Jason Worlds right now seems to be the best outside linebacker left. I would look at him. Dan Williams is a nose tackle, a true nose tackle to play in this 3-4 defense. That's somebody that I would be looking at as well. But kind of more on a realistic, I think Andre Holmes is somebody. He did get a tender from the Oakland Raiders, somebody who could come in, got some size at receiver. I do hope when you talk about the receiver position, because it sounds like Torrey Smith's going to San Francisco. We know Macklin's going to Kansas City. You know, Cobb stayed. Demaryius is staying. Dez is staying. So none of those guys are even hitting the market. It seems like the best receiver left is probably Crabtree. I don't know that I want to pay Crabtree a ton of money.
No.
So I'm not that excited about it. I almost would want to go and see today when a guy, apparently Andre Johnson's getting cut today. I'd want to go for Andre Johnson. I think that he's great for you. I think that he comes in for a year or two. You're signing him on a short-term deal to kind of just help groom this team. You don't want to have an overpriced player. You don't want a guy necessarily. Now, Andre Johnson would fit the mold in the sense that he's at the end of his career, but I think he kind of comes in and helps stabilize that receiving core, because I think you could do that and then draft two young guys as well.
You can, and Andre Johnson's made a lot of money in his NFL career, and he's been highly productive. what type of money on a 1 year deal is like one year, $7 million
for Andre Johnson?
For Andre Johnson,
yeah,
two years, 12, something like that.
Could be. I mean, he might want more than that because
I know
sure
what he might want, but what he might get is a different story.
But I think that could be. I think that could be about right. I think that could be about right for him. It'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. They need to address the wide receiver position. They need to get playmakers on offense. So whether that be a tight end or a receiver here, I think there are some guys that'll be cheaper. Like I mentioned, an Andre Holmes would be a cheaper guy that you could look at. I think Kenny Britt would be a nice fit here. Coming off of a career-high 48 catches last year and was a model citizen because he's had his off-the-field issues. But in terms of size and speed, Cecil Shorts is a guy that could be a nice fit here at wide receiver. I think you've got to bring somebody in. Again, this team's not going to go at the top of the market. That's why I think Jason Worlds, as much as I would like to see it happen, I don't see it actually happening. I think Trent Cole could be maybe a little bit more likely. And as we said, he is in the building right now for the Cleveland Browns. They're looking at him. You got to get somebody to get to the quarterback. You got to get some playmakers on offense. I think those are kind of the charges. And it's going to happen between this and the draft. But I do want to see the Browns do something here and make at least, you know, some type of a splash where you can bring in guy at least a starter or two.
Absolutely, 100%, and also too is you'd love to go get value and a vet at wide receiver simply because I think last year from a wide receiver standpoint, and yes, this is another deep wide receiver draft, was kind of an anomaly type of year to get the type of production out of the first rounders last year is like a once a decade type of class, and I don't think the expectations of this year they can be just as high, but will they live up to it? That's hard to find out. So. Any of the three guys, and even, you know, Jalen Strong, Devin Smith, I think they're going to be contributors, but not asked to be full-time starters like the guys did last year.
No question. When we come back, we're going to get on the phone lines, 216-578-0850. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, we'll get into your tweets as well. You can tweet us at Browns_daily, at MattWilhelm35, at Nathan Zagura, and of course, Gary Barnage will be with us at 2 o'clock, and then the second hour, we will talk Steelers. By the way, Arthur Motes reporting that he is staying in Pittsburgh with the Steelers. He just said that right now. The Denver Broncos just tendered restricted free agent cornerback Tony Carter, and many teams were reportedly interested in him. Barnage at 2. Craig Wolfley from the Steelers. Talk about Arthur Motes and other things going on in Pittsburgh at 2:15. Aaron Wilson, the Ravens insider, will be with us at 2:30. He's got a pulse on the NFL. We'll get some good insight from him also. It's all coming up here on CBD and ESPN 850 WKNR.